are not going to be very warm, about 45 to 50 degrees. Southerly winds 5 to 15 miles an hour. The rain chance 60% tonight, down to 50% by tomorrow, and 40% by tomorrow night. Up in the Cascades, there's decreasing periods of rain or snow in the forecast through Monday. Snow level near 5,500 feet. That should drop to 4,000 by tomorrow afternoon. And expect the afternoon pass temperatures between 35 and 40 degrees, and westerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. The Powder Pig Ski School is canceled for tomorrow, so if you're a member of that, you're not going to go skiing. The five-day forecast for western Washington is for rain at times, decreasing about Wednesday, continued mild with highs about 45 to 55 degrees.
KIRO, Seattle, the news authority.
KIRO News Time, 10 p.m.
CBS News. A spokesman for American military deserters in Canada says an amnesty program that would offer anything less than honorable discharges for deserters would be wholly unsatisfactory. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President-elect Carter has said he intends to consider appeals from deserters on a case-by-case basis. Mr. Carter received an advanced draft of a study by the University of Notre Dame's Center for Civil Rights that recommends outright pardons for Vietnam War draft resistors, but not unconditional amnesty for deserters. The report was written by two former top officials of President Ford's clemency program and Notre Dame president, Father Theodore Hesburgh, who was a member of President Ford's clemency board. It calls for general rather than dishonorable discharges for deserters. Jack Calhoun, co-editor of Amex Canada, a magazine for deserters, says the general discharge idea will do very little good at all.
The only people it would help are basically the same people that the Carter program would help, draft resistors. And it just perpetuates the same no amnesty that existed before the Ford clemency program and the same no amnesty for deserters that and veterans of less than honorable discharges that the Carter proposal has. So it's very wholly unsatisfactory.
Calhoun says the general discharge is highly discriminatory and that those receiving them would be considered consigned, rather, to a future of no jobs or no decent jobs. CBS News continues following this message.
Without them, there's little you can do. Without them, it's a world without a view. Without them, there's nothing left for you. Without them. But with them, you swing it along. And with them, survive, but with them, you're breathing alive.
Your local lung association offers this song in dedication to your lungs. Long may they thrive, alive and well. To keep them thriving, kick the habit of smoking and help clean up the polluted air. Your lungs deserve love and care. Your local lung association says the care and concern for your lungs is very much a matter of life and breath.
President-elect Carter is down home in Plains, but his designation of Theodore Sorensen to be next CIA director remains up in the air over Capitol Hill. Considerable Senate resistance has been heard on the issue of Sorensen taking classified Kennedy administration papers with him after leaving the White House staff for use in writing a book. Sorensen says published reports about him leaking classified material are wholly untrue, that he did nothing improper. CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports Mr. Carter reviewing the matter, and CBS News has learned that Vice President-elect Mondale is serving as a mediator between senators and the incoming administration on the matter. Capitol Hill sources say the nomination is in deep, possibly fatal trouble. Ronald Reagan has answered a question that's been brooded about in Republican circles ever since he lost the GOP presidential nomination to President Ford. Will he lead the conservative wing of the party away into a new political structure? The answer, as provided Saturday night at a banquet in Washington, no. The former California governor says there's no sense starting a new party when most conservatives are in the Republican Party already. What's needed, says Reagan, is a new Republican Party.
The new Republican Party I envision is still going to be the party of Lincoln. And that means we're going to have to come to grips with what I consider to be a major failing of our party, our failure to attract a majority of black voters. I know that for historical and economic reasons, a top-heavy majority of black Americans give the Democrat candidates their votes. But the time has come for Republicans to say to black voters, look, we offer principles that black Americans can and do support.
Reagan says most Americans are conservative on social or economic matters. More after this.
Hello, this is Julius Erving. When I'm on the court, I can't allow myself to be distracted by anything, because basketball is a game of total concentration. The work of the March of Dimes also involves total concentration. The March of Dimes is concentrating on how to solve the nation's number one child health problem, birth defects. And that's something that should concern all of us who want a healthy future for our children. As the facts stand now, more than 250,000 babies are born each year in this country with birth defects. But there is hope. The March of Dimes is supporting research programs that may one day find the means to protect the unborn and the newborn from birth defects. Researchers have already found ways to prevent some birth defects. I believe that with our help, yours and mine, the battle can be won. So please help the March of Dimes efforts and ensure a healthy birthday for all babies. Be as generous as you can and give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
There could be a hitch in the expected end of the strike in Miami and Miami Beach hotels of some 5,000 maids, bellhops, waitresses, and service employees. They ratified a new contract on Friday and were to return to work on Monday, but the Miami Herald in Sunday editions reports a last-minute squabble between hotel executives and union officials over wording of the settlement threatens to delay the strike's end. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Cairo News Time, 10:06. Just ahead, the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Want a free estimate in your home on new draperies? Simple. Phone the Drapery People. Not only will you select from custom window treatments from a full range of samples coordinated to your decor, but you'll enjoy super everyday savings. For instance, now at the Drapery People, decorative custom drapery fabrics are 25 to 50% off regular prices. Custom-built woven woods are reduced 25%. Kirsch, Fabricut, and Homemaker bedspreads in twin, full, queen, and king sizes are on closeout. Full size from $29, usually $59.50. Don't put off a trip to the Drapery People's new budget department to sew at home and save. There's where you'll find all kinds of fabric roll-ins and closeouts, reduced as much as 70% and more. For the convenience of in-home shopping, call the Drapery People. In the South area, call 824-3696. In the North and East Side areas, call 246-4611. In Tacoma, 927-3396. The Drapery People is a Cairo Price is Right store. Watch for special Price is Right bargains coming soon.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The greatest discoveries are not of the new, but of the old. When the 15th and 16th century navigators discovered that the Earth was round, it wasn't because the Earth had suddenly decided to turn itself into the shape of a ball. The Earth has always been round. We talk about discovering the secrets of the atom, but all the forces that make up the atom have always been there. Therefore, what we call discovery is usually a matter of looking more closely and seeing more clearly. After all, the Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun. No new birds, just new feathers.
But $25,000 is all I have in the world.
Let me invest it for you.
It is my life's savings.
I'll make it grow.
But I hardly know you.
Let me have the money, madam.
Oh, don't look at me like that.
Just trust me.
Please, when you look at me like
Believe
that...
Believe me.
I am helpless.
This is for your own good.
Oh, you can do with me whatever you want.
You'll never be sorry.
Oh, take from me whatever you want.
Our mystery drama... Cherchez la Femme was especially adapted from the O. Henry classic for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Robert Dryden and Bryna Rayburn. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radials. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick. The 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
I'm Betsy Palmer speaking for CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, Children's Hearing Education and Research. About 20 million Americans, 1 in 10, have a hearing disability. Hearing loss is silent and invisible. It's one of America's top 5 medical problems. CHEAR urgently needs your support for medical research to solve the serious problems caused by deafness. Help now. For information, please write to CHEAR, C-H-E-A-R, A Voice for the Hearing Impaired, P.O. Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704. Thank you.
Sweep our continent wall to wall via Norm Kneisel's Green Carpet Tours. It covers the four corners, Alaska, California, Florida, the Gaspé, and everything in between. This spring, the green carpet rolls across the South into the Alamo, Carlsbad Caverns, the Great Smokies, New Orleans, and Florida, where you'll see virtually every thread of landscape. In April, it will penetrate the Sun Country, the Redwoods, San Francisco, Monterey, Carmel, Death Valley, the Grand Canyon. Brush up on the East Coast this summer. Whisk at the doorsteps of the Pennsylvania Dutch, scour Williamsburg, or make the grand sweep into the Maritime Provinces and Gaspé. Try New England's Fall Foliage Tour for a blanket this autumn. But wherever, go wall to wall with green carpet escorted tours. You can find out about the carpet at your travel agency, or better, visit Green Carpet in their booths at the World Travel Fair, covering the ground at Seattle Center Exhibition Hall, January 21st through 23rd. It's going to be wall-to-wall travel there. Let yourself go on the green carpet and to the World Travel Fair, a trip in itself.
William Sidney Porter, or O. Henry, as he was known to his readers, would have had a difficult time understanding women's lib. He would ask himself, why should women want to be equal? Were they tired of being superior? Ah, yes, women. They make your day, and they're not too bad at night either. Woman, the eternal mystery. And at this time, one of the most eternal of all women, Madame Ottilie Thibault, we shall meet her in a little cafe in the French Quarter of New Orleans, where she is deep in a discussion with a favorite customer, O. Henry himself.
Billy?
Yes, Madame Ottilie?
You know a man, Gaspard Morin?
Gaspard Morin? No, I don't think so.
Oh, he was a goldsmith.
No.
A jeweler?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's dead now.
Oh, well, then it doesn't matter.
Oh, how can you say it doesn't matter? He stole my money.
He stole your money?
$25,000.
How could he steal $25,000?
How? I let him.
Now, what's this you're saying, Madame Ottilie? You let him? How did you let him?
Well, you see, I am a woman, no?
Yes.
And he was a man. And a man, well, a good man. A woman, she will let him do anything.
And you let him have $25,000? What were the terms?
The terms?
Yes, what was it? A gift? A loan?
Oh, terms. Why do you speak English? It was a investissement.
Investment.
Oh, that's what I said, no? Anyhow, one night, he came in here and he says to me, I remember it like it just happened.
Madame Ottilie, I see the place does very well.
Oh, and what if it does, Monsieur Gaspard Morin?
Well, you must make a nice dollar.
Oh, every dollar is a nice dollar.
May I ask, madam, what you do with your money?
Well, you think maybe you can get your hands on some of it?
Oh, no, 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 no. Madame, I was thinking of your welfare.
And why should you think of my welfare?
Oh, because I like you.
Ah. Oh. Tiens. So, and therefore you wish to propose marriage?
Ah, would I were free, madame.
There is someone else?
No, madame, there's no one else. As I've said, I think only of your welfare. Where do you keep your money?
Where does any sensible person keep their money? Under my mattress.
Well, isn't $25,000 too important to trust to your mattress?
How can you say that? I trust myself to my mattress, no? Is my money more important than me?
Yeah, but under the mattress, the money does nothing for you.
Oh, yes. It makes me happy to know it is there. I lie in my bed at night, and my money is with me.
But...
I think to myself, I have buried four husbands, and I am alone in the world, except for my money. Sometimes I get out of bed and I take out my money. I have 25 nice $1,000 bills, and I count them, and I put them back nicely.
Yes, but haven't you thought of a bank? I mean, the bank would pay you interest.
But the money, it would be shut up in the vault, the cold vault. Nobody would love it the way I do. Nobody would keep it warm.
Now, madame, I like you. I do, I really do indeed. And it hurts me to see that your hard-earned money is doing nothing.
Well, what is money supposed to do?
Work. Work as you do, as... well, work as I do. Madame Audley, do you trust me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Oh, yes, Monsieur Gaspard. I trust you.
Then let me invest that $25,000 for you. I promise you, you won't be sorry.
And do you mean to tell me, Madame Audley, that you gave him the money?
Of course I gave him the money.
Yeah, but why?
Why? Because he looked deep, deep into my eyes. When a certain kind of man does that, then I am like a small little baby. I am helpless. So... well, I gave him the 25,000. A month later, he died.
And your money?
My money. My money. It died too, maybe.
After you gave him the money, did you ever see him again?
Well, sure. He came in here every night for a little drink.
Well, did he tell you what he did with the money?
Well, he said, Madame Ottilie, the money is safe and sound and secure as the Rock of Gibraltar. What is the Rock of Gibraltar?
Well, it's the huge rock that guards the straits between Africa and Europe, I think.
Oh, and he bought this rock for me?
I don't think so.
Oh, and the money, my 25,000, it's gone, eh?
Was there any sign of it in his estate?
Estate? What estate? He lived in a room on top of his jewelry store. Estate?
No, I mean, was there a record of it?
No, nothing. Nothing.
Well,
Billy, you think you can find the money for me?
I'd like to.
Oh, good. Then the money's as good as found.
Now, wait a minute. How can I find the money?
Oh, you always find things in your stories.
Well.
People lose things, you find them. People steal things, you find it.
Yeah, but those are only stories.
I know, true stories. So, you'll find it for me, eh?
But how can I?
Oh, a man like you, smart like you.
I'm afraid the money's gone.
Look, you find the money for me, and I'll cook you up a whole kettle of my special bouillabaisse.
But I wouldn't even know where to look. I would... a whole kettle full of your special...
Oh, yes, every night for a whole week.
Well... I think the key here is chercher la femme. Look for the woman.
What woman?
There's a woman in here.
A woman? No, never.
He was a man who had a way with women.
He was a bachelor till the day he died.
Now, he got you to give him 25,000. And what a man gets from one woman, he gives to another.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, I know your pride is hurt.
You say chercher la femme. But not for Monsieur Gaspard Morin.
I still say look for the woman. You mean he never was known to spend time with women?
Oh, yes. Much of his time.
Well, you see, I'm right.
You go to the number 19 on Bonhomme Street, and there you will see the sort of women whose company he preferred above all others.
Poor Madame Audley. So good-hearted, so trusting, so vulnerable. How could I even hope to put her into a story? Who would believe her? And so, I made my way deeper into the French Quarter. And finally, I came upon Bonhomme Street. The houses were old and close together. And here was 15 and 17 and 19. I pulled at the old-fashioned bell. And after a wait, the door was opened. Opened by a woman. A tall, tragic-looking woman. But she wore the severe black gown and the stark white bonnet of a nun. Then I saw in a flash the crucifix on the wall and the faded letters, The Little Sisters of Samaria.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, sister. I must have come to the wrong place.
Are you sure this is the wrong place?
Well, you see, I was looking for number 19.
This is number 19.
Well, then my directions were wrong.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm looking for information about a gentleman who most certainly would never have come to a place like this.
We must never be certain about things here below.
I agree, sister, in principle. But I think we may both be certain that a gentleman named Gaspar Morin would never come here.
Gaspar Morin? But he was a dear friend. He visited almost every day.
Gaspar Morin? The late Gaspar Morin?
The same.
The Gaspar Morin who was a jeweler?
I know of no other.
Oh. Well, may I ask you a few questions about him?
Certainly. My name is Sister Felicity. Won't you come in? He is at rest with the saints. A man most devout. He would come here each day to pray and talk with us about God's goodness and mercy.
I understand.
I hope so. How few people understand him.
Sister, a certain sum of money was entrusted to Monsieur Morin shortly before he died. That money is unaccounted for. Have you heard?
Yes, I have heard.
Madame Audley Thibault deserves justice, but so does Monsieur Morin. Now, if we could clear his name, prove him innocent of wrongdoing.
Monsieur Gaspar, he could do no wrong.
I would have to know his tastes, his habits, what friends he had, and so forth.
I understand.
Now, in these cases, one always does well to look for the woman. Was there a lady, perhaps?
Yes, there was.
A woman?
There was one woman to whom he bowed, to whom he gave his heart completely.
Yes? Who?
Behold her. There, in front of you.
In front of me was an alcove. A soft light pouring in through a stained glass window illuminated a statue of the Virgin in a color that appeared to be the purest gold.
He made the statue with his own hands and presented it to the order the day before he died.
He made this little statue?
Oh, yes. It was as if he had a premonition of the end, and this was one work that had to be finished first.
I see.
His death, well, it's just as well he'll never know.
He'll never know what?
He loved this order, this little order of ours, so much it would have broken his heart to know that we're being disbanded.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
You see, we are an independent order. We relied completely on the generosity of private individuals, and Monsieur Morin would give us as much as $100 some weeks. This kept us alive. But now, well, this house and all of our property is being sold at auction tomorrow.
Oh, that's too bad.
It is God's will. Perhaps we are needed elsewhere.
Everything is being sold, even that gold statue of the Virgin?
Yes. Of course, it isn't really gold. It's lead or some other metal covered with gold paint.
Oh, of course.
Oh, monsieur, perhaps you will come to the auction, and if you bid generously, there may be some money left for us, and we may be able to start anew somewhere else.
Oh, yes, I shall be there. And have no fear, Sister Felicity. I shall bid generously.
And we know on what he will bid. Did Monsieur Gaspar Morin convert Madame Ottilie Thibault's 25,000 into gold and then construct the statue of the Virgin, which he donated to the Little Sisters of Samaria? If he did, while it amounts to stealing, it really wasn't stealing exactly. Or was it? Well, more on money and theology when we resume in just a few minutes with Act Two.
It's night, and you're lost on a Scottish moor. The chilling wind is biting at you, and fear is mounting. Suddenly, you see a strange light, and you're in the middle of adventure. Soon, this kind of thrill will delight you and your children. Adventure that will take you into musty, darkened caves and carry you to mysterious mountaintops. I'm Hyman Brown, inviting you to the world of imagination, where adventure begins February 5th on this station.
I'm Betsy Palmer, speaking for CHEERS, C-H-E-A-R, Children's Hearing Education and Research. Many people live in a world where bells don't ring, birds don't sing, and voices are only jumbled sounds. This is the life in the silent world of the hearing impaired. About 20 million Americans, 1 in 10, have a hearing handicap. Won't you help these people? For information, please write to CHEERS, C-H-E-A-R, A Voice for the Hearing Impaired at P.O. Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704.
I bought me a Ford the other day. I was pleasantly surprised. The dealer was so good to me. I found that I've been sound eyed.
Right now, Sound Ford in Renton is having their annual January inventory adjustment sale. So get on down to Sound Ford today, where you will find some of the best buys of the year. That's Sound Ford in Renton.
Get yourself sound eyed.
Sound Ford in Renton. We still got a better idea. Rick Bennett of Issaquah says his machine can indicate if a person is lying by measuring the stress in the voice.
The real point of law and morality is when you give me information for my evaluation, do I or do I not have the right to use every bit of technology at my disposal to validate that information? And I've made that decision, and I'm just kind of declaring war on liars.
This is Jim Harriet. Just before 60 Minutes, spend 30 minutes with us this Sunday at 6:30 on Channel 7.
That glitters may not be gold. There are times when gold itself doesn't glitter either. What is and what is not gold, and what price glitter, are problems that have plagued us all since the very beginnings of commerce. And it's a problem we face as our second act begins.
What do you mean, this statue?
Well, don't you see what he did? He bought $25,000 worth of gold with your money and made a statue of the Virgin.
Oh!
Now, the question is, what do you want to do about it?
Do?
You can let matters stay as they are, or you can decide you want your money back.
So, Monsieur Gaspard, he made a gold statue of the Virgin. I told you he was a man with great holiness.
Well, yes.
So it was not for selfish things, not for women or for drink or the gambling. No, it was for the saints, for devotion. It was the gift of a heart that was pure.
You could look at it that way.
I will have my money back. Let him buy his forgiveness. Let him buy his glory with his own money. Come, we will get the statue.
Yeah, but we can't prove it's yours.
Everyone knows I gave him 25,000.
But we cannot prove that this was how he used it.
Then how can we prove?
We can't, but we don't have to.
We don't have to? They'll give us the statue?
No, they'll sell us the statue. I told you everything will be sold tomorrow at auction. We'll bid for the statue.
But will we get it?
Of course. After all, who would want a little lead statue of the Virgin? I wish I could tell you about that auction. The auctioneer figured what he had could fetch maybe $10. And when he got an opening bid from a stuntman in the corner, he was ready to knock it down. But Madame Thibault stormed into the fray like a ravenous wolf into a chicken coop.
I see $20. So? $25 for a statue like this.
Well, she kept the pot bubbling and finally permitted herself to buy the statue for $50. We hurried out of the quarter to the busy business district. I brought the statue to a very exclusive jeweler's shop.
Yes?
This statue...
Yes?
We should like to sell it.
We do not purchase religious statues.
Even when they're made of gold?
Gold?
Pure, solid gold? You weigh it. See if it doesn't add up to at least $25,000.
And what makes you think this statue is gold?
Well, what makes you think it isn't?
Because I know it is lead.
Lead?
Gold painted over lead. See?
Oh, sir, put away the knife. It is the Virgin. What are you doing?
You see? It slices almost as easily as butter all the way down.
No!
Then it isn't gold?
My friend, that statement should be engraved in marble.
But you said the statue, it was my gold.
Well, I was quite frankly puzzled myself. What could he have done with the money? I decided to abandon all this hit-and-miss speculation and go about the thing scientifically. So, finally, I located Monsieur Gaspard Morin's lawyer.
But, Monsieur, what may I do for you?
Monsieur Pinapas, I'm here about Madame Thibault's $25,000.
Ah, yes. What is to be done? When I had to settle his estate, I discovered his assets just barely cover his liabilities. As far as the sum of $25,000 is concerned, there is no sign of it.
Well, what could have happened to it?
I'm sure I could not tell you.
Now, Monsieur Pinapas, we had here a man, Gaspard Morin, who seems to have had no vices. Is that true?
Ah, true. And almost no pleasure either.
How could such a man go through $25,000 in less than a month?
Oui, monsieur, it seems to present a difficulty.
I say, cherchez la femme.
Monsieur Gaspard? Oh, my dear sir.
Oh, he held a magnetic attraction for women. Could he have been leading a secret life?
No. His life was an open book.
Exactly my point.
What are you saying?
Suspect any man whose life is an open book.
But, my dear sir, such a man's actions are there for all to read.
Now, you say his life was an open book, but could you swear that it wasn't written in a secret language?
A secret language?
A code. Where he used certain words to mean things that only he could understand.
Oh.
He wanted everyone, perhaps, to think of him as a devout, hard-working person. Ah, but...
But what?
Who knows what smoldered underneath? What dreams, thoughts, desires?
Ah, this is the thinking of a novelist, of a writer of stories. This is the stuff of fiction.
As opposed to
the stuff of life. You, sir, are a man of creative fancies. I am an attorney. I deal with the realities.
But it is the reality of life that is interesting and dramatic, not the fancies of fiction.
To even imply that sober, serious, hard-working, devout Gaspard Morin might have been leading a secret life...
Well, why is that so far-fetched?
Why? Because... Well... Now that you mention it, why indeed? Who is to say he did not lead a life that none of us knew anything about? Who is to say there were no vices?
Well, they don't necessarily have to be vices.
But they do. How are we to know that Gaspard Morin was not the most debauched, depraved...
Oh, well, now, I didn't mean to go that far. Now, you were his attorney. You knew him well.
I was his attorney, but no one knew him well.
Think. Do any names occur to you?
Names?
Try to remember. Before he died, did he speak of anyone new or strange?
Monsieur, I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Did he seem excited in any way?
Excited? Well, no.
A name he might have let drop?
Well, how little we know about the next person.
Monsieur Pinapas, I know you're an attorney and that you're not at liberty to discuss privileged information.
Oh, Gaspard, you old dog.
Yeah, and it might seem to you that I, a stranger, am taking liberty, but believe me...
What? Why, there, that is the name.
The name?
Oh, you ask for a name he might have uttered before he died. A strange name. A new and unknown name.
Yes?
But you just said it yourself. Liberté.
Liberté?
Miss Liberté.
Miss Liberté?
He was dying, and he motioned for me to bend closer, and he winked at me, and he said, Pinfess, I've left everything in the hands of Miss Liberté. Miss Liberté, I replied. And pray, who is Miss Liberté?
Yeah, well, who is she?
He was about to tell me.
What happened?
Nothing happened. Or from his point of view, everything happened. He died.
Oh.
And so, I am afraid we shall never know who Miss Liberté is.
Well, our course is clear. We have to find this Miss Liberté.
Yes? And when you find her?
Get the money back.
My friend, how? You have no paper, no documents, nothing to prove the money belongs to Madame Thibault. This Miss Liberté, whoever she is, could simply laugh in your face.
Monsieur Penipass, do you know Madame Thibault?
Yes.
Do you think she would have any trouble getting back 25,000 of her own dollars, proof or no proof?
Frankly, no trouble at all.
See? See? I told you to look for the woman.
Miss Liberté? But who is Miss Liberté?
Well, first we have to find her.
I don't know anyone named Liberté. Miss, Mrs., or Mr. even.
That's the name Mr. Pinipes mentioned.
Mr. Pinipes? Do you trust Mr. Pinipes?
Is there any reason why I shouldn't?
Certainly. He's a lawyer.
I mean, any good reason?
I have just given you the best.
I inquired about Mr. Pinipes.
And?
And he's very well thought of.
By whom?
By other lawyers.
Oh, these birds flock together. Oh,
he's an honest man.
Another way of saying he has never been caught doing anything crooked.
Now, Madame Ottilie, why would he lie?
Who is to say that he, your Monsieur Pinipes, didn't steal the money?
It is still my theory there's a woman mixed up in it.
But why?
Well, because it's a rule.
Eh? What kind of rule?
It's one of the two standard rules in a mystery, and this is a mystery, isn't it? Of course.
What two rules are you talking about?
Well, the first rule is the butler did it.
Eh? The butler?
And the second is cherchez la femme.
I don't understand.
Now, these are the rules that have been passed down to us by all the great writers of mysteries. Now, are you going to stand there and say it isn't so?
But there is no butler. Do I have a butler? Did Monsieur Morin have a butler?
No.
Do you have a butler? Does Monsieur Pinipes have a butler?
No.
Then there is no butler and no rule.
True. Which is why we are left with rule number two. Cherchez la femme. And we have a clue. Miss Liberté.
But I ask you again and again, who is this Miss Liberté?
I'm sure that when we find her, we will have found your $25,000.
Oh, Miss Liberté, eh?
Now, Madame Ottilie, you know everybody in the quarter.
Oh, yes, but...
Now, surely somewhere, sometime, you came across the name Miss Liberté.
Miss Liberté? Never.
No. Don't close your mind. Think. Just think. And say Miss Liberté. Where have I heard that name? Now, go ahead and say it.
Miss Liberté. Where have I heard that name?
Say it again.
Miss Liberté. Where have I heard that name? Why, what name is this we are trying to find? Miss Liberté?
Does it mean anything at all to you?
Miss Liberté. Miss Liberté, sure. Now I remember. Now I know. Miss Liberté. Of course.
Maybe this isn't the time you would pick to lower the curtain on the ending of an act, but we, on the other hand, want to make sure that you stay fresh and keyed up for our messages. So, Act 3 in just a few minutes.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries six people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean, it's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-sized car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be, except for one thing. It isn't yours yet, but it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive soon.
Just like a Buick.
I'm Jim Moran. I ran some pretty tough races, but I can think of none so tough as the race being run against cancer. Chemotherapy has proven an increasingly effective weapon against the ravages of this dread disease. Through the timely use of chemical agents, methods of arrest and control are now available for many patients. Doctors and scientists are working continually to develop and refine the chemicals, but the race is not won yet. So send a check to Chemotherapy, Box 8, New York, 10028.
Do you realize you're slowly becoming part of the fastest-growing minority in this country?
What?
Would you mind standing up for a minute?
Huh? Hey, where are you going with my rocker?
Are you willing to take old age sitting down?
Sitting?
You are going to be old someday, and you're going to have to face the same problems older people face today.
What is this, some kind of joke?
If you think it's funny now, wait a few years.
I don't understand.
The older you get, the fewer opportunities you'll have. You might even be deprived of your ability to make your own decisions.
What can I do about it?
Change your attitudes about aging. Try and imagine what you'll want to do, what you'll want to contribute.
All right, but you didn't have to take my rocking chair to prove your point, did you?
You have to get off your rocker and stand up. Stand up, or be prepared to sit back and rock your life away.
Oh, I see what you mean.
This message has been brought to you as a public service by this station, the Advertising Council, and the National Council on the Aging.
Thank you.
Cherchez la femme. Look for the woman. This seems to have been the path we've been traveling ever since we began our story. It's women, after all, who make the world go round. And it's a certainty, we can tell you right now, who is making our story go round and round, and where we shall stop, only she knows, at this time.
Madam Audley, you know who Miss Liberty is?
Of course! I have heard the name.
Where?
Here, in this place. Men talk of her.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Who is she? Who is Madame Liberty?
She is a horse.
A horse?
You see, the men come in here to drink, to get away from their wives, to gamble, and to talk about horses.
She's a horse? But
and you... they all speak of this Miss Liberty. She runs at the racetrack.
A racehorse? Can it be? Did he bet on Miss Liberty at the racetrack?
Did he?
If he did, then your money is surely gone. That's the end of it.
Oh, no. I will not believe he gambled on a horse.
It was now a time of delicate negotiations. When one loses money betting on a horse, one must lose it to somebody. A definite, actual somebody. And these gentlemen are all members of a close fraternity. Tight-lipped, given more to listening than speaking.
Miss Liberty? You want to bet on Miss Liberty?
No. I don't want to bet on Miss Liberty.
Good. You ain't going to die poor.
Well, I'm asking because of a gentleman named Gaspar Morin.
Yeah?
Now, it's important for me to know if he lost a considerable sum of money betting on Miss Liberty.
Ooh, anybody who bet on that ice-cold mama would have lost a lot of money.
$25,000.
Ooh, now that's a nice round sum. He didn't lose it with me.
Well, could you ascertain if he lost it with any of your associates?
Why?
Well, I'm a curious person.
Is that a fact? I'm saying you write stories.
Yes.
Would you put me in a story?
You're in this one already.
Gumbo Charlie. Hey, make sure you got the name. And my customers can always find me sitting in One Eye Philibeck's fish parlor.
Now that I've published his advertisement, I have to tell you that a day later, Mr. Gumbo Charlie came by to see me.
Scratch Miss Liberty.
Oh?
This Gaspard Morin? Why, he never bet so much as a wooden nickel on a horse in his life.
You sure? Well, thank you, Gumbo.
You might also tell my customers I can be found Sundays at One Arm Arthur's Chowder House.
One Eye Philibeck, One Arm Arthur. What kind of people are these?
Careless.
Mm-hmm.
That idea fizzled out, too. But I kept remembering Monsieur Pinapesse's statement.
Monsieur Morin said to me, I left everything in the hands of Miss Liberté.
Those were his exact words?
Oh, but yes, I am a lawyer. The exact words are of crucial importance.
So it couldn't have been a racehorse. A racehorse named Miss Liberté, because a horse has no hand.
That is correct.
And he winked, you said?
Oh, yes.
Which meant he must have been happy.
As happy as a man can be on his deathbed.
So he thought he had found an ideal solution, Miss Liberté. Who could Miss Liberté be? That was the first time you ever heard him mention that name?
The very first.
Miss Liberté.
The aunt of Miss Liberté.
Is it possible? Can it be possible?
Can what be possible?
No. It's beyond the realm of...
Of what?
Who is Miss Liberté?
Well, we have already established she is a racehorse.
Now, Miss Liberté. Now, please, Monsieur Pinapesse, think.
Of what?
Think of New York.
Why should I think of New York?
Of New York Harbor. Miss Liberté, the great statue.
A statue?
The Statue of Liberty. It is called Miss Liberté.
Oh, is that a fact?
It's been standing there since 1886.
And why was I not informed?
And it was presented to the people of America by the people of France.
Ah, for what reason? Frenchmen do not normally give things away.
As a gesture of friendship. To commemorate the 100th anniversary of our independence in 1876. And it took 10 years before it could.
10 years, huh?
Well, it's a large statue, the largest in the world. It's 151 feet high. It weighs 225 tons.
Ah, the entire affair sounds somewhat suspicious to me.
But, Monsieur Pinapesse, you yourself said Morin told you he had left everything in the hands of Miss Liberté. Now, that's true, isn't it?
Which, yes.
Well, Miss Liberté stands high above New York Harbor, and I suppose we shall just have to look at her hands. What can I do? I'm the prisoner of a logical mind. A man is entrusted with a sum of money. On his deathbed, he says he left it in the hands of Miss Liberté. Miss Liberté is the famous statue in the harbor of New York. Well, like it or not, reasonable or not, the clue had to be followed to its logical or illogical conclusion. I boarded a train to New York City. I discovered that the statue was in the custody of the War Department. Through a friend of a friend, who had a friend, I was introduced to Colonel Ramrod.
Look at the statue's hands?
Well, sir,
You realize that her hands are some 300 feet above the water.
Yes, sir,
Is it necessary that you look at her hands?
Absolutely necessary, sir.
May I ask if there's a reason?
Well, I'm trying to recover Madame Thibault's $25,000.
Oh, you've mentioned two good reasons. A woman and money.
On his deathbed, he said he had left everything in the hands of Miss Liberté.
Well, how do you get up there to do it?
I wouldn't be able to answer that, Colonel.
You look a bit old to climb up and out onto her hands.
Well, I'm not quite as old as I look.
Yes, I'm allowing for that. And you appear somewhat portly.
I have to follow this clue to its logical conclusion.
The army likes to cooperate with the citizenry. We can have you swung up and out there with block and tackle.
I'll tell you why I did it. True, I wanted to help Madame Thibault, and I told myself that the bouillabaisse was more than worth any risk or hardship. Yes, that's what I told myself, but the truth, you see, the realists were coming to the fore in literature. De Maupassant and that crowd. And I wanted to show everyone that old William Sidney Porter could be as real as any of them. After all, who else would hang suspended 300 feet above the cold water of New York Harbor as he carefully scrutinized the hands of the Statue of Liberty? And what did I find? Exactly what I had expected to find. Nothing. But the game had to be played till the final out in the last inning. And so I returned to New Orleans, sick at heart, weary in spirit, and hungry for a supper of bouillabaisse that I knew I would never get to eat. I made my way to Madame Audley Thibault's cafe. Now, Madame Audley, think. We try to think, did Monsieur Morin ever say anything at all about what he would do with the money?
Oh, he said this and he said that, and I couldn't understand one word.
Well, there's a woman in this thing somewhere, but I can't find her.
Oh, you mustn't bother your head anymore. The money, it comes and goes. And listen, because you have been one good friend, I have a surprise. You come back with me.
Where?
To the kitchen. Where else? Come, I have a surprise.
Well, it wasn't a surprise long. Halfway to the kitchen, the most heavenly odor filled the hallway. It was the bouillabaisse. Oh, that bouillabaisse. I sat down at the kitchen table, eager, expectant, hungry.
You work hard. You deserve reward. Now, you will eat bouillabaisse as much and as often.
Madame Audley, what can I say? What could anyone say in the presence of such divine bouillabaisse? Nothing. All one could do is eat. Eat and eat until one was ready to burst. And then rest to ready oneself for a second onslaught. Well, during this brief respite, I let my eyes wander about Madame's kitchen. In the dusky twilight, it was flecked with gleams of polished fine woods and burnished glass and metal, which she loved so much. The walls were covered with lithographs in garish colors, advertising posters, theater bills, birthday cards, everything calculated to stun the optic nerve into complete submission. Then, in the midst of it, some squares with a gold border and a picture, was it possible? A picture of liberty. Liberty. The same liberty that was on the money in my pocket. Beautiful standing Miss Liberty. I looked again. And I couldn't believe what I saw pasted up on that wall. Madame, since when are you in the habit of papering your walls with $5,000 United States bonds?
Bonds?
Look on the wall. $5,000 bonds with coupons attached. Well, here's your money.
Oh, but that is not money. Those are just pretty pieces of paper.
Madame.
Monsieur Morin, he gave me these pretty pieces of paper after he said he would invest the money I gave him.
Well, didn't he explain what these were?
All I know is I gave him money and he gave me these little pieces of paper with that woman's picture in it.
Yeah, but this is also money.
Well, how could it be money? Money has a man's picture on it, not a woman's.
Madame, now listen to me. Do you know a good paper hanger?
Of course.
Well, get him to peel these off very carefully.
Oh, but they hide a hole in the wall.
With these bonds, you can buy a new wall, a new house.
With these pieces of paper with the woman's picture in it?
That's what he meant when he said it was in the hands of Miss Liberty.
Oh.
Madame, when in doubt, cherchez la femme.
Yes, cherchez la femme. Look for the woman. Always look for the woman. For as a philosopher once said, without a woman, what enterprise could possibly be worth the trouble? In addition to looking for the woman, look for me. for I shall return in a few minutes.
And in this corner, in the pink, Larry Lund. And now, introducing his opponent, in a charcoal frame with sooty stripes, Dirty Harry.
Now, as both men move to the center of the ring, we see Dirty Harry, cocky, confident, harassing his opponent orally with his typical pre-fight chatter. Let's listen. It will not be a clean fight, ladies and gentlemen. Dirty Harry, the more aggressive of the two, mixes up his punches with a barrage of sulfides, hydrocarbons, and, of course, his big closer, carbon monoxide. Lungs, meanwhile, fights a more defensive battle in the hopes of simply outlasting his opponent. And now, as we await the bell, we pause for this message.
Dirty air is out to knock the breath out of you with asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and lung cancer. Don't take it lying down. Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Madame Ottilie Thibault used the $25,000 in U.S. bonds to cover a bad spot on her walls. And there they were. Pretty to look at, decorative, useful. You may say that's rather expensive for a wall covering, but can you think of many people who spent $25,000 on projects that brought them far less satisfaction, pleasure, and use? Our cast included Robert Dryden, Bryna Rayburn, Ian Martin, and Bill Griffiths. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Well, you see, there's such a thing as overprotection.
Yes, I'm sure there is. Is there a time lock?
Yes, a time lock?
Well, like I say, I don't really know much about it, but I've heard of bank vaults that had time locks.
Oh, as window dressing. That doesn't mean a thing.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you're right, sir.
Of course I'm right. And I bet my life on this vault. Ever hear of a fella called Jimmy Valentine?
Jimmy Valentine? No, I don't believe I ever did.
You never heard of Jimmy Valentine?
No, who's he supposed to be?
Well, he's only supposed to be the most famous safecracker in these United States of America.
Oh.
I'm willing to wager that even the great Jimmy Valentine himself would find it impossible to break into this here vault.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Be sure to join us tomorrow again at 10:07 for the CBS Radio Mystery Theater right here on Cairo News Radio 7. The Boeing Reserve Property Center is like no other place you've ever visited. As you stroll through, you may find cutting tools and drill bits of all shapes and sizes on one side, and light fixtures and typewriters on the other. A little further down, there are tables and tables of electronic gear. To the right, office chairs. To the left, 50-gallon drums. Outside, there are racks full of steel pipe, aluminum, and lumber. The Boeing Reserve Property Center. You have to see it to believe it. Just north of Kent on the East Valley Highway at South 208th. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 6, and Saturday from 9 to 4.
I'm Fred London from Haight Anderson, Pontiac, Buick, and Oldsmobile. Discount land is jammed with red tag specials throughout January. We've thrown away window sticker prices and are dealing. Plus, we're offering a $500 rebate on all new 76 and 77 Pontiac Astras and Sunbird. That's yours for a down payment or in cash. Don't miss the greatest automotive supermarket bargains in the Northwest. Go to the Mukilteo Ferry Turnoff on I-5 North, get off at Evergreen, and look for discount land.
Seattle area weather, clouds and occasional rain tonight. About a 60% chance of some type of precipitation. 40% chance of rain by tomorrow night. We should have some fog overnight. Lows near 40 degrees. Highs tomorrow back up between 45 and 50. Southerly winds, too, 5 to 15 miles an hour. Up in the mountains, the freezing level, snow level near 5,500 feet.
KIRO, Seattle. The News Authority.
Cairo News Time, 11 p.m.
CBS News. Great Britain is reported about to make a major concession to the IRA, withdrawing half of its troops from Northern Ireland. A defense ministry denial has been issued. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The report in the respected Sunday Times of London says half of Great Britain's force of 14,000 soldiers would be withdrawn from Northern Ireland if violence there doesn't increase. The published report says the withdrawal would occur over the next few months, with the remaining troops later to abandon their security patrols and return to their barracks. A Defense Ministry spokesman contacted in London denied any large withdrawal is planned. South Africa is reported ready to fight in Rhodesia if the situation there deteriorates to the point where it considers its security jeopardized. The Johannesburg Sunday Express reports that Prime Minister John Forster told British diplomat Ivor Richard last week that South Africa's white regime would tolerate neither terrorist action nor Cuban intervention in Rhodesia. Richard says a planned Sunday meeting with two leaders of Rhodesia's so-called Patriotic Front has been postponed. Richard has been shuttling among six African nations in an attempt to get the Geneva Conference on the Future of Rhodesia moving once again. CBS News continues following this message.
Howard, You're such a brilliant person.
True.
Figured out our federal income tax all by your lonesome.
The answer to my every question was right inside the tax package.
Oh, really?
I just read the instructions carefully. Well, I suppose I could have sent for one of the Internal Revenue Service's free booklets. They have quite a few, each one on a separate subject.
How complete.
Or if I were really stuck, as they say, I could have checked directly with the IRS.
But you did it all by yourself.
I read the tax instructions extra carefully because there have been some important changes in the law.
Oh, Howard, you play the piano.
Hmm.
You paint.
Hmm.
You make your own shoes. You cook. You tune your own car. And you figure your own taxes. How do you do all these things?
Superbly.
Phoenix, Arizona contractor Max Dunlap and plumber James Robison are being held without bail after being arraigned in the continuing investigation into the murder of investigative reporter Don Bowles. Both are charged with murder and conspiracy to commit murder. They were incriminated by John Harvey Adamson, who pleaded guilty to a reduced charge of second-degree murder. Adamson was tried on a murder charge, but a mistrial was declared because of massive publicity surrounding the case. Washington is buzzing this weekend with comment and speculation on the nomination of CIA Director-Designate Theodore Sorensen. Senate Majority Leader Robert Byrd says confirmation is questionable. Senator Strom Thurmond, the South Carolina Republican, says the nomination should be withdrawn. The major flap over Sorensen taking secret papers from the White House when he left the Kennedy administration to be used later in writing a book. Other senators raised the issue of his limited experience in the intelligence community. Democratic Senator Robert Morgan of North Carolina raises another question.
Sorensen was a conscientious objector, which doesn't bother me in itself, except that he still says he's a pacifist. And sometimes the Central Intelligence Agency might be called upon to deliver guns or ammunition to anti-communist, pro-Western groups, such as took place in Angola. It bothers me some, and I really want to hear what his position will be on this.
Sorensen issued a statement Saturday denying any wrongdoing, saying President-elect Carter reaffirmed his strong determination that he serve. CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint reports Mr. Carter is reviewing the situation. Ronald Reagan is a Republican forevermore. Dashing speculation that he'd lead a march of conservatives out of the GOP to a third party, he said Saturday night in Washington that would be too tough, that most conservatives are in the Republican Party already and should stay there. Now this.
I'm Betsy Palmer, speaking for CHEER, Children's Hearing, Education, and Research. Many people live in a world where bells don't ring, birds don't sing, and voices are only jumbled sounds. This is life in the silent world of the hearing impaired. Many other people get through life not hearing many words or phrases or believing everyone is mumbling. It's a tragedy when one is very young, as hearing is crucial to learning. 1 in 10 Americans have some kind of hearing loss. CHEER, founded in 1969, wants to help all these people, especially our children. More medical research is urgently needed to make this happen, but it can't be done without your help. Our national hearing problem is getting worse, not better. Noise pollution causes a lot of it that is a hearing hazard. Help CHEER support this research to break through the silence of deafness. For information, please write CHEER, Box 362, Yonkers, New York, 10704. This research provides hope for us all.
The 11th annual survey of entering freshmen conducted by UCLA and the American Council on Education indicates that secondary schools are puffing up the grades of their students. Among 1976 college freshmen, almost 20% had an A average in high school, up 1.5% from 1975, up more than 6% from 1969. Survey director Professor Alexander Aston says, when you consider these grade increases in the light of declining college admissions test scores, it's hard to escape the conclusion that grading standards in the secondary schools have been declining since the 1960s. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Caro News Time, 11:06.
If you're in the market for a Cadillac to buy or to lease, there is one dealership you must see. Frederick Cadillac. Our huge inventory and huge volume assure you that we have the car you want at the best possible price. And we offer higher trades. We sincerely want your business. If you're a smart buyer, you're important to us. Respectfully, Frederick Cadillac at Pike and Summit.
Senator Packwood, what will the Senate do to President-elect Carter's tax cut package?
Senator Packwood, do you think it's likely that any of President-elect Carter's cabinet appointees will not be confirmed?
Senator Packwood, senators appear so far to love the Senate reform proposal in the abstract, but not in the particular, and I'm wondering if the Senate is ready for reform.
CBS News, Washington. Capitol Cloakroom on the CBS Radio Network. A spontaneous and unrehearsed news interview with an outstanding public figure. This week's guest is Senator Bob Packwood, Republican of Oregon. He meets with CBS News correspondents George Herman, Barry Serafin, and Jim McManus. First, we hear from George Herman.
Senator Packwood, welcome to Capitol Cloakroom, and I'll just note for the record here that you were elected to the Oregon House of Representatives in 1962 at the age of 30, served three terms there, and you were elected to the United States Senate in 1968, reelected in 74. You made economics one of your specialties here, serving on the Senate committees on banking, housing, and urban affairs, and on the Finance Committee. It's the Finance Committee that'll have to take a look at President-elect's tax cut proposals, and my recollection is that it seldom lets anything through unchanged. What do you think it's going to do? What would you like to see it do to the proposed tax cut package?
This first time through, I think the Finance Committee, I think the Congress as a whole, will accept the package almost intact as recommended, and I think that for two reasons. First, it's a Democratic president, a Democratic Congress. Secondly, there seems to have been a fair degree of coordination and meetings prior to the formal package coming down in an effort to harmonize whatever differences there may be between the President and Congress. So I think the first time around, it will be accepted almost intact.
Do you agree with that package?
By and large, I do. If I would have any question mark on it, it would be that if by the time we consider the package, the economic indicators are even up further and are looking better than they are now, it might be reduced a bit across the board.